Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
Just as kind of my custom is, prior to a preaching conference, I start looking into the subject and start getting some ideas, not only for myself, but maybe for the rest of the brethren. Today, we're going to talk about liberty that we have through the truth. We're going to look at some aspects of liberty, more specifically, one of the ways that we can receive it. That's how we receive it. It's through the truth. You can't come to a true liberty without knowing the true truth. But first, what are we being liberated from? If there's going to be a liberation, what is it from? Is it from a country, from tyranny, from bondage, from whatever? We live in a free country and we have been in bondage. We live in a free country and we have been in bondage to no man, right? I mean, does this sound kind of familiar? The liberty that we're talking about is a liberty from the bondage of sin and the bondage of death.
Amen.
This is a much, much more bondage than just being bound to a certain person or a certain country or something like that. Because one day you will be released from that bondage through death or through freedom. But if you're in the sin, if you're in the bondage of sin and death, then you will never be released from that bondage. Because one day you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. There's chains, outer darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth, a flame that is not quenched, or worms that dieth not. There's gnashing of teeth. You will never be out of bondage if you're in bondage of sin and death now. It is being freed from the power of sin and of the devil. It is being freed from the chains of being ruled by the flesh and it being liberated to serve God and to serve His Christ. When we are liberated, when we are made free from the bondage of sin and death, then we are able to serve God. We're able to do things that pleases Him.
Amen.
We're able to please the brethren. We are seen as a hope. We can show forth God's glory in our lives. This liberty is so great that men have lost their lives to not only possess it, but also to keep it. This liberty is so precious that God Himself came down to the earth as a man. He was tempted. He was beaten. He suffered. He shed His blood. And He gave the ultimate price. He laid down His life. That's how precious this liberty is to God. That He gave His only begotten Son so that we may have liberty.
Amen.
This liberty truly brings us to a peace with God. Remember, Christ broke down that middle wall partition between God and between man. Bringing what? What did He bring? He brought peace. Not between the nations. Because He said He's going to divide a household. He brought peace between man and between God. What more liberty is there than having peace with once your enemy? Remember, we were all enemies of the cross. We were all enemies of Christ at one time. But yet, before He loved us, before we loved Him, Christ died for His enemies. This world may clamor. This world may clamor that they are the free ones and that they have choices to do what they want, but they have freedom over their own, that they have freedom over their own bodies and their own wills. But wisdom is justified by her children, isn't it?
Amen.
Isn't it? We can see the detriment. We can see the repercussions of this world's freedom. Mm-hmm. Babies being aborted, killing, adulteries, murders, lies, And the list goes on and on and on and on. There is no freedom in that. By this world claiming that they have freedoms apart from Christ, we see that they are turning to brute beasts and that God is giving them over to their desires. The same desires that they say they are free in: foolishness, lustful flesh, abominations, greed, pride, murders, adultery, fornications, hypocrisy, and the God of, and the list goes on. This is not freedom, though. This is not freedom. These are the works of Satan, and those that do them are blinded by the gods of the, by the god of this world. And we see the liar, the murderer, he who came to steal, kill, and destroy is their god. But those who are truly free in Christ, they have the true love of God. It's the true love of God. It's not this fake fornication love that's going on. It's the true love of God. True peace, true long-suffering, true gentleness, true goodness and faith. They have true meekness and temperance, and the more, they have eternal life. Amen. This world may proclaim freedom, but all that it is calling out for are the leeks and the garlics and the fishes, the dainties that this world has. But along with those dainties comes bondage. And we can look back into the children of Israel. They look back at the leeks and the garlics and the melons and the fishes. But what was the payment for that? Bondage. Bondage, hard labor. Go and gather your own straw. Their babies were being thrown into the river. They were in bondage to Egypt. We see people like that now. They think that the dainties of this world are the way to go, but yet they are in bondage to Satan. In the days of Jesus, Jesus posed this same statement to the Jews. In John 8:31, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, make you free."
Amen.
They answered him, all puffy, I can just see it in my own mind, all puffy, "We are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that ye shall be made free?" And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whomsoever committeth sin is the servant of sin."
Amen.
He whoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And a little later in 8:36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Freed from what? Freed from the servant of sin.
Yes. Amen.
And yes, the Jews had the same response as today. We be Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage to any man. We hear, "I'm free. I'm not in bondage to anybody." Jesus went on to say that they were in bondage to sin. But again, the flesh is very short-minded. Because the Jews were in fact in bondage throughout their generations. And even in that day, they were under the Roman rule. Jesus even brought out the point that their father was the devil. In 8:44 of John, "Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do." Ye will do the works of Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, and he is a liar and the father of it. So here Jesus is calling these Jews out on the carpet, saying, "Your father is the devil." Well, of course, this riled up the crowd. Just as it does today. just as it does today. When we preach truth, when we preach the gospel of Christ, people get riled up because they think that you're taking their liberties when actually you're trying to make them free. If any man is in Christ, he is free indeed. The natural man cannot know the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. But even more, he does not want to know them. Why? Because it's hard on the flesh. It's hard on the flesh. They don't want that. They want to do their own thing. It does not want to receive the truth because it would then see that it was depraved. That it was in bondage. Because what does the truth reveal? When Jesus came, he removed the cloak. He removed the cloak away. And he revealed their sin. But Jesus came proclaiming liberty by believing on him. He came preaching repentance because the kingdom of God was at hand. That's what he came preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus came to show forth the Father, and that he and he alone was the only way, the only truth, the only life, the only access to God. We can know the truth. We can have true liberty, but we must come to Christ to receive it. Amen. That's why this world cannot have liberty, because they're not coming to Christ. Natural man cannot receive these liberties because they are not in Christ. All of God's liberties, all of God's promises, everything that God is in Christ Jesus. It was spoken of the prophets of one to come to set the prisoners free. Many verses in the Old Testament, Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now, was this Isaiah speaking of himself? No. No. We could have maybe have seen that back in the day. But no, Jesus came and proclaimed who this scripture was written about. John the Baptist even saw that this was the Christ when he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him. And he even sent his disciples to ask Christ, "Are you the one to come, or shall we seek for another?" John the Baptist was waiting. He saw the Spirit of God. He proclaimed in the River Jordan, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And yet, while he is in prison, he sent his disciples, "Are you the one to come?" And she's, "Yeah. Yeah, you've seen the miracles. Yes. You know the scriptures. Yes, I am the one to come. The one to come to set at liberty of those who are in bondage." Jesus also verified the scripture to the audience that it was truly speaking of him in Luke 4, 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He asks for the book of Isaiah. He stands up, asks for the book. They bring it to him. And he reads this scripture, Isaiah 61, 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book. He gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." Amen. Now, what did the audience do? "Hoo-hoo, Jesus came, the Christ came, he's the one." No. They didn't. They were so indignant. They were so riled up that they took Jesus out of the synagogue and was going to take him and cast him off of the brow of the hill to his death. But yet he passed through them. Why? Because he was preaching the truth. They could not handle it. They were still in bondage to Satan, to sin. Jesus was truly sent to set the people free, to give them liberty, and to open the prison to them that were bound. And again, those who heard it were filled with wrath. They cast Jesus out of the synagogue and took him to the brow of the hill to cast him over it. You can't set a murderer free from prison. You can set a murderer free from prison, but unless he repents, he's still a murderer. There must be that repentance. There must be that coming to God to be set truly liberty to those who want it. Just because they're not behind bars, just because they're not chained up, doesn't mean that they're still not a murderer. Because their heart is still a murderer. The Jews say that they were free, but they were still of the wicked one. Their hearts were not towards God, or they would have known whom they were listening to. The truly free man receives the things of the Spirit of God. See, you've got to be set at liberty to receive these things. You have got to be truly a free man to receive the things that God has for them. Isaac and Ishmael. What did Ishmael receive? Nothing. Why? Because he was not of the son of the promise. Isaac received all that that Abraham had. We are children of God. We are not of that bondwoman anymore. We have been set free. So now we are receiving all of those blessings that God has for His children.
Amen.
The Jews thought that they were free in the law of God. But what they did not realize is that the law was given because of the transgression of sin, and that it was to point them to Christ, and that it was only in Christ that man could have true freedom. Romans 8:2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." The law was an instrument of bondage in itself, because it was weak in the flesh, that man could not keep the law, so then man could not be righteous. But God, sending His own Son in the likeness of flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, so that the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law brings us to the knowledge of sin. It brings us to the point that sin bringeth forth death. It reveals that they that are in the flesh cannot please God, and that it brings us to Christ in knowing that it is weak through the flesh, and that natural man cannot do the things that are therein. The law tells us. The law, God tells us through the law, that we cannot follow after the law because of our flesh. So see, that's why we have to go to God, this spiritual aspect of being made righteous. We can't do it ourselves. Christ came. Christ laid down His life. God accepted the sacrifice that was given. And because of that, He imputes His righteousness to us. Apart from the law. And now the law is made righteous in us because of Christ. Now we are made free in Christ, and the law has been written on our hearts. It's been written on our hearts now, isn't it? And we are able to do the things of God. So now we are able to, as Galatians 5:1 tells us, we are able to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with a what? With a yoke of bondage.
Amen.
So freedom in Christ releases us from this yoke of bondage. Bondage of sin, bondage of the flesh, bondage of submitting to the flesh. Now we're able to tell the flesh no. We're able to take the flesh into subjection.
Amen.
A real good visual. We have to take this so aggressively that it reminded me of one of the passages of the kings having the enemy's neck under their foot. That's pretty aggressive. But that's how aggressive we have to be to keep sin, to keep the flesh in subjection. We are able to serve God in the full assurance of the heart. We are able to come to the throne of grace. We are able to live in this world but be not of it. What people do not realize is when you are truly free in Christ, that you are not being entangled in the bondage of this world, the bondage of being slaves to the flesh. We are truly able to proclaim that we are well able to go free, and that our conscience is truly purged from the works of the flesh, and that we are set free from the course of this world, and we're able to perform that will, the will and the purposes of God, because it is our reasonable service. There is true joy and peace in being free and having liberty in God. In Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation, no bondage, no fear. There is nothing between. The wrath of God has been, as Brother Greg brought out in Exodus, the wrath of God has passed over us because it has seen the blood. Has seen the blood of Christ is upon us. The Jews, it was brought out that the Jews had a veil over their heart when Moses was preached. Who did Moses speak of? Moses spoke of Christ also. Even when Moses is spoken of, because even Moses spoke of the one to come. In 2 Corinthians 3:16, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. See, this is a spiritual matter. This truly is. We don't see physical chains. We don't see physical bars. But this is bars and chains of the heart. Bars and chains of the heart. This veil that when Christ is preached, people cannot receive it. People cannot hear it. They cannot attain it because they are natural man. There is unbelief. The veil that is over the hearts that believe not is there to keep hidden the glory of God because the people were not able to behold it. That's why Moses wore the veil. The people couldn't behold the glory of God. And that's why they can't receive the children of God, the truths of God, because it reveals His glory, His liberating power through Christ. The only way to have it removed is to turn to the Lord, and where the Lord is, there is liberty. Men love darkness, don't they? Men love darkness. Mm-hmm. Why? Because those who are wicked do things wicked in the dark. Men love darkness. They love the cloaks because they cover up their sins. But when Jesus came, he removed the cloaks and he shined his light in the darkness so that man's sin was revealed. We must, with open face, look into the liberty that God has for those who are his. We must reveal everything. Only in this will we be set free, is when we come to God with our all. And where there is sin, there is truly bondage. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have what over you? Dominion. Dominion over you. For ye not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Mm-hmm. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness.
Amen.
Here again is the two contrary spirits, the flesh and the spirit. They are truly at enmity one with another. You can't mingle a little sin and a little grace. You can't mingle a little spirit and a little bondage. You can't mingle a little love of God with a little hate of God. You have to love the one and cling to that one. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God while serving the flesh. You are either submitting to the flesh, which is sin and death, or you are serving God unto obedience and righteousness. Walk after the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and make no provision for the flesh. These aren't just suggestions. But God has made us well able to walk in the Spirit. He has made us well able to make no provisions for the flesh because he has raised us up. Mm-hmm. He's raised us up. He's given us the strength. We must not allow sin to have dominion over us. There is true liberty in Christ Jesus. Well, you must truly and wholeheartedly believe this. All of these truths come from spiritual discernment, and they come from faith. You must believe. We must have the faith and knowledge in the knowledge that God is able to perform that which he has promised, and that Christ is all of the promises of God. We must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. See, when we knock, God is well able and he's well willing to give us of this. So if we're asking and we are determined in our whole heart to follow after God, God will enable us. God has not left us out in the cold to fend for ourselves. He has given us all the resources in Christ Jesus. And our faith must be placed on him. We must truly yield to God, and then and only then will the grace of God set us free. In Romans 6:18, being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. Mm-hmm. See, you have to be removed. You have to be set free from the bondage of sin so that we can become the servants of righteousness.
Amen.
And in closing, let us remember that when we come to the liberty that is in Christ Jesus, there are lands that are flowing with milk and honey. There are springs of living waters, and that there is a peace with God, and there is eternal life. The world clamors for freedom, but all it's going after is the bondage of this world and the dominance of Satan. They do not realize that they are receiving the lust of the eyes. the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. This is all the world can offer them. That's all the world can offer them. Because these are of the world. Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not, and in doing so, he has set them in bondage to themselves, to himself. But when we come to Christ, we are set free from the things of this world, and we are elevated to the heavenly places. The things that we accomplish upon this earth in him are being stored up in the storehouses of heaven. We have freedom to worship God. We have freedom to serve him in total liberation. And then his desires become our desires, and his pleasures become our pleasures. We are set free from the pits of hell, and an inheritance has been reserved for us. But one of the greatest liberties and joys is serving him and hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And let me leave us with one last verse in 1 John 5:20. "And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." So when God brings us to this point of knowing who Christ is, and he will set us free in the liberties that he has for us. Is there any questions or comments or corrections?
Free from sin so that we can be servants to righteousness. Yeah, I like that. We don't just become without authority. We come out from under bondage so we can be servants to righteousness.
We're going to serve.
It's a willing service.
Yeah. We're going to serve one or two masters. We're going to serve either God or we're going to serve either or Satan.
Preaching the truth and those who are in the flesh can't handle the truth. And it should be surprising when we preach the truth that people get angry and get upset. But same thing happened to Jesus.
The foolishness of preaching to those who are of the world. Well, I thank you all for your attention. Shall we stand? And Brother Tim, we'll have a closing.